Chapter 12, if you're getting familiar with your Bible, if you go to the book of Psalms again, which is the largest book in the Old Testament, turn to the left several pages, you'll come to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And we're going to read tonight for our text verses 20 through 22. Chapter 12, 1 Chronicles, and Chronicles, of course, contains 8-9 chapters of genealogies. A record of families and so forth and so on. You get past that, you get into writing about David's kingship, and that's what we'll be talking about tonight. Let's stand together, please, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, looking at verse 20, 21, and 22. If you'd join me on verse 21, which will also be our text verse, that'll be good tonight. And our book says, "And as he went to Ziklag, there fell to him of Manasseh, Adnah, and Jozabad, Jediel, and Michael, and Jozabad, and Elihu, and Zilphi," makes names like Jason, and Caleb, and Mike, and Terry, and Mick, makes those names real good, doesn't it? Amen. So, captains of the thousands that were of Manasseh, and they helped David against the band of the rovers, for they were all mighty men of valor, and were captains in the host. For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him, until it was a great host, like the host of God. Dear Father, thank you for everything this book teaches us and for the particular points we'll draw tonight from this passage. And I pray that you'll help us in these days of uncertainty in our nation, Lord, to be locked in to serving the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Jesus our Savior. May we not be, Lord, shaken by every wind or slight of doctrine, by the national things that go down around us. God, may we be steady. And like these men of valor, please help me tonight to bring the message and bless the song and the message to follow in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Yes, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. That Jesus loves me. Yes, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. That Jesus loves me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he does love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. Though I forget him and wander away, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. That Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
Good. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. That wasn't easy, I don't think. What do you? That's good. Thank you, ladies. That was a blessing. Wonderful. We ought to do that with preaching. Have somebody preach in bass and somebody preach in tenor and get three or four messages going at the same time, all right? Verse number 21, and they helped David against the band of the rovers, for they were all mighty men of valor. and we're captains in the host. I want to speak to you on valor in the day of transition. Valor in the day of transition. Let's pray. My dear Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your book. Thank you that you love us, Jesus. It's good to hear the song tonight to remind us of that truth. Help us to love you. Oh, help us to love you. I pray, Lord, it'd be a great time to start if we don't already. To help us to love you and love you more than we have before. Bless the message tonight. May it be a help to folks. And I'll thank you in advance in Jesus' name and amen. Picture this for a moment, if you will, in your mind's eye. The head of a nation, a jealous, crazed man suffering from the bouts of temporary insanity, has tried to kill the heir to the throne a couple of times with a javelin. He's turned on his own son. He still held the support of one half of the military until almost the end. And now he is dead. And another one of his sons has attempted to take his position on the throne as the king of Israel. The heir to the throne was anointed to be king several years earlier. He has been waiting and he's been loyally supporting and serving the king who's tried to kill him. The heir to the throne has gained national acclaim through military victories, and especially the one where he killed the great champion of the Philistines. He has built a loyal following of men, but he didn't recruit them. They came to him. They sought him out. And when they came to him, many times they were all in difficult situations. In fact, in one place the Bible says they were in debt and distress and in discontent. But they worked together to overcome the obstacles, and under his leadership, they become a very strong and mighty militia within the nation of Israel, if you will. Some of the nation still backs and supports the son of the former king. Most of the nation waits for the new king to take his rightful place on the throne. Now, can I say, if you were on the editorial board of the Jerusalem Post, or you were a reporter for the Jerusalem Times, you'd have no shortage of storyline material. Because that's what all was going on in this time in the nation of Israel. That's the real life storyline of Saul and Ishbosheth. That's his son who took the throne. And then David, the rightful heir. This is the real storyline as the nation prepares to make the transition of leadership from Saul to the next king. Saul's dead. Now he's been killed. David's preparing to take the throne. There are a few holdovers from Saul's followers who want Ishbosheth to lead. But the Bible says a group, and not just a group, the Bible says in verse number 22 that a host, like the host of God, a host of strong men come to David to see to it that David takes his rightful place as king. And the Bible says in verse number 21, they were all mighty men of valor. I like that word. Substance. There's something to them. Men of courage. Men of strength. Men of valor. Now, folks, we have no earthly king like David or Saul or Ishbosheth or Solomon to serve. And we certainly don't serve political officials or any earthly potentate. But we do have a king whose name is Jesus. And he's not just king. He is King of kings and he's Lord of lords. And I submit to you that we're in days of transition here in this nation. One of the candidates has been calling for change. I'm going to tell you, friend, it's going to be change regardless of who gets in. In fact, it's already changing while President Bush is still in office. I'm amazed. Laws get passed out of expediency that could be dangerous or disastrous down the road. You know that? After 9/11, you have nationalized security. That's what Homeland Security Department's all about. That's federalized security. Now you got nationalized banking. What's next? Nationalized health care is coming. You know that. And we'll all regret that. Whatever else comes down the pike, you know, I don't know. I mean, but it's far cry from what the founding fathers originally intended when they drafted the Constitution of the United States, the power was supposed to be with the states and a very small federal government. That thing is upside down, no doubt about it. And whether it be Barack Obama or John McCain, neither one, strike me, is really ready to lead the United States to stability. I have nothing against age. I think it's wisdom and all that God gives aged men is wonderful, but I do look at John McCain. He's an older man. And the other man has no experience. There are folks in this church have about as much experience as he does when it comes to politics. Community organizer. I don't see a real leader ready to lead in either one of these men. I'm going to vote because I think it's my responsibility. And I'll go to the polls. And I'll cast a vote for the candidate that I feel most represents the Word of God and the truths of God's Word and so forth and so on. And pull the lever and so forth and so on. I'll vote. But I'm going to tell you what, friend. We're in days of change. But in spite of all that, enough on that, in spite of all that, and all the nonsense of a government that does not recognize God, we need to keep our eyes on serving our King. Folks, there's no reason or cause for Christians in America to be just up in arms right now. Okay? I mean, if the person you want to get in the office gets in the office or not. Come November the 5th, the one we serve still sits on the throne. Okay? He's there. He's been there for eons and eons of eternity past. He's not leaving. He's not taking a break. He's not taking a nap. Okay? And Christian people should react rightly. Okay? There's no call for civil disobedience. I understand where Al Gore recently called for civil disobedience in the streets to prevent the building of power plants and so forth, nuclear power plants. He called for civil disobedience. He called for people to disobey the federal government. That's a champion of the one party. So, we're in a mess. I'll tell you that. America needs a great host of people. I know how great it would be number-wise, but it needs a great host of people who will line up behind their King Jesus. And live for Him in these erratic days. These are erratic days in the nation of Israel. Man, you got half the country wanting one thing, half the country wanting the other. You got half the country wanting Ishbosheth, half the country wanting David. Saul's left it in a mess. These are days of transition in the nation of Israel. And who does God write about in these days of transition? He writes about these men of valor. Men of substance, men of courage, men of strength, men who aren't blown about by every little wind that comes along, men who are plugged into somebody who's unchanging, that being the God of the universe and serving Jesus Christ. Now, there's some attributes that these men of valor possessed that we need to emulate very quickly and very simply tonight. Again, a very simple message. Let me give them to you. These men were men of valor because, number one, they kept ready. They kept ready. Look at verse number 23. Verse number 23 says, "And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready, armed to the war." Do you see that? "And came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord." Verse 24, "The children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready, armed to the war." Twice God says about these men of valor, they were ready, armed to the war, prepared for battle at a moment's notice. Prepared. You just never know when you will be assaulted by the enemy. And when I say the enemy tonight, I'm talking about the threefold enemy of ourselves, which is the closest enemy to us, Satan and the world. And friend, the truth of the matter is, not knowing the logistics of the attack means that we have to stay on our toes. These men were ready, armed to war. They kept
ready. When I think of keeping ready, I think of what I preached about this morning in the AM service on the subject of personal devotions. And I want to say, you know what? It's worth spending a moment on tonight, because probably 30 to 35 of you were in some other place this morning and we're not in the 11 o'clock service where you were teaching or working or serving, and I sure appreciate that. But I just want to say just quickly tonight that, look, you and I can't get far from our personal devotions. We've got to get locked in to having this time of daily Bible reading and daily prayer, especially if you're going to be prepared for battle. You're not going to keep ready apart from God's book. Not going to do it. A person asked me, I was making a visit, and a person said, you know, why should we read the Bible in the morning? And I think of one Bible phrase that best answers that question. That's in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 1. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now you stop and think about what happened to different people in the Bible on one day. Joseph was propositioned by a wicked woman on one day. Job lost all of his possessions and his 10 children in one day. One day. David encountered the giant Goliath one day. Eve was beguiled by the serpent one day. Daniel and his friends were condemned to death because they couldn't interpret the king's dream. That happened on one day. And folks, I don't believe for a minute that any one of these people, I don't believe for a minute that Joseph woke up on that particular morning anticipating the proposition from that woman. I don't think Job woke up on that day expecting or anticipating to lose all of his possessions and all of his children. I don't think David woke up that day that he was carrying the bread and cheese to his brothers at the command of his father. I don't think David woke up in the morning anticipating encountering a giant. I don't believe Eve, as she was out to look at the fruit and spend the time in the beautiful garden, anticipated being beguiled by the serpent and a serpent. And I especially don't think that Daniel and his friends woke up in the morning and realized that they'd be under the threat of death before the day was over. But all of those people encountered that particular battle on one day. The Bible is true, correct. We know not what a day may bring forth. Situations, events, circumstances that can happen so quickly in this life. Who knows what a day may bring forth? You got to keep ready for every day. Ready. Keep ready. I thought about this. Keep ready for tribulation. Keep ready for tribulation. Folks, do we understand how quickly one phone call? Do you understand how quickly one... What does that feel like? Where did that come from? What is that lump? Do you understand how quickly that can change your life? Do you understand how quickly that can change everything? I didn't feel that yesterday. Understand how one phone call, one doctor visit, one accident can change a day, a week, a life. We got to keep ready. We have to keep ready. And the only way to keep ready is to give diligence and due diligence to be faithful in the morning, every day. And I'm not harping on the morning by law. I'm just saying in the morning time is the best time to prepare for the day and to get yourself ready. These were men of valor, ready to the war. They kept ready. Don't ever underestimate the potential of a day to turn against you. Don't ever underestimate the tribulation that you may encounter in one day's time. How about this? You need to keep ready for temptation. Temptation. An opportunity to cheat on a business deal. Huh? How quickly can that happen? An opportunity to flirt with another adult to whom you're not married. An opportunity for some teenager to get involved in something that they know is against the Word of God and against the wishes of dad and mom. We need to keep ready for temptation. How do you keep ready for temptation? You can't keep ready for temptation apart from that book right there. Can't do it. Can't do it. You need to be ready. How about this? Not only keep ready for tribulation, not only keep ready for temptation, but how about keeping ready for the trumpet? I'm telling you, friend, it could happen. Now, don't tell these folks that are engaged or hope to be engaged. These folks that are in love, you know, they don't want to hear anything about the trumpet sounding. Amen. They won't have to wait till after Jesus comes. But the truth of the matter is, there's absolutely nothing in that book that would prevent that trumpet from sounding tonight. You want to give a girl a nightmare? Sneak up behind her and blast a trumpet, man. Yeah. I like the song. Sometime one of the groups around here sings it. Are you ready for the trumpet? Are you ready for the call? Are you ready? How can you keep ready apart from that book right there? You can't do it. So they kept ready. They were ready, armed to the war. But not only did they keep ready, number two, I want you to see this. Not only did they keep ready, they kept rank. I like this. Down in verse number 33, look at it. Same passage, same chapter of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of double heart. Look at verse number 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron. They kept rank. What's that mean? They could take orders. They knew how to obey and they knew how to stay in line. You know, there's nothing more impressive in a military parade than seeing the formation of soldiers or sailors or military personnel all marching together. And although, you know, God forbid Hitler and his Third Reich and the Russians, that goose stepping is something amazing to watch. And watch those soldiers goose step in line, you know, and stick their legs way out there and everything. And there's nothing more impressive than watching those soldiers keep rank. You know, for a child of God, it takes an obedient heart and an ability to take commands in order to keep rank. They could keep rank. They could follow leadership. And I want to tell you something, folks. So much of our problems would be solved by just keeping under the chain of command that God has established for us to live under. So much trouble could be avoided. I think about you kids here tonight. And kids, you need to learn to keep rank. Keep rank under your dad and your mom. Say, well, dad's not at home. Well, keep rank under mom. Well, mom's out of home, then keep rank under dad. Keep rank under your parents. Obey them. Don't just obey them while you're at home and they're looking over your shoulder. Obey them while you're away, while they're away from you. Obey them. Keep rank. Keep rank at school. Keep rank in any place where there is an authority. It's a God-created, God-ordained, God-instituted system to cause order and peace and triumph and victory. And brother, we have chaos when you don't keep rank. So kids, if you're going to be valiant in the day of transition, you need to learn to keep rank. Keep obedience. Stay under the authority of your folks. Don't get out of line. Don't push the envelope. Don't keep bumping the rail all the time. See if you can get dad to move his fence. See if you can get mom to move her fence a little bit more this way or a little bit more that way. Create some more space for myself. Just stay with what dad and mom say. Keep rank. Keep rank. You'll be glad you did. Wives, keep rank under your husbands. Keep rank. So many families suffer from out of order women. I know. Amen, Pastor. That's good. Amen. I know you can't say it. So many families suffer from out of order women. So many. Husbands have no control over their wife. Zero. None. 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 And I want to say something. The whole fabric of American society is at risk when homes are not in order. So many. So many. I get in situations sometimes trying to solve problems where I just like to say to the husband, this is what you need to tell your wife to do, but I can't because he has no control. And he has no control because the wife won't yield it. I'm going to tell you what, folks. That's not keeping rank. Keeping rank is knowing your place. I'm not talking about dumb. I'm not talking about ignorant. I'm not talking about don't know anything. You know better than that. I've been here 18 years. I've bragged on intelligent women and talked about the character of godly women. But I want to tell you something. As good as a woman can be, she can be that bad. When she gets out from under the authority of her husband. No doubt about it. And can I say this tonight? I see all the excitement, you know, over Sarah Palin. And, you know, as good as it may be to have a conservative on a ticket. I guess she's saved. I guess she's saved. I hope she's saved. Girls, this is no career to emulate for a young lady. I'm sorry. There's no career to emulate. There's no higher calling than that of godly wife and godly mother. None. It doesn't mean you're a slave, you're chained to the four walls of a house. Read the Proverbs 31 woman. In life, she was a blessing to that man. She was a blessing to that family economically. And a lot of you ladies are the same way. You got sense and you got wisdom and you know how to put your talents and God-given abilities to work and make a little extra cash for the family, sometimes right from your own house. And that's the greatest thing in all the world. But I'm just keep rank. Keep rank. There's a reason why God instituted a divine order in the home and in the church and in society. And if God's people would just keep rank with that order, keep rank, keep lined up, oh, so many problems would just be solved. So then you come to the men. How do you keep rank, men? Well, submission for a man in this day and age is as he is a member and involved in and submitted to the leadership of a New Testament church. It's taught in the Bible. It's taught in the book of 1 Corinthians. Very plain to see. When they voted that man out of the fellowship of the New Testament church, the Bible says that they turned him over to Satan. Now, while he was a member of that church, and under the authority and umbrella of that New Testament church, he was protected. But when he got out from underneath the umbrella and the protection of that church, he was open game. I'm going to say something, men. I have seen some disastrous things, and you have too, happen in the lives of men who left churches wrong. I'm not saying nobody ever leaves. God's moving, Brother Jorge. And there's an obvious sadness to it, but there's an obvious sweetness to it as well, because he's leaving right. There's a way to leave. Buddy, I'm telling you something. Things can go south real quick. Real quick. You folks, you're not dumb. You look around. You see people not here. And I appreciate, you know, I appreciate that. But I'm going to tell you, some things are real sad. Real sad. God may move a man from an independent Baptist church to another independent Baptist church. But I'm going to tell you something. God never moves a man just out to do his own thing. Nowhere in the Scripture will you find that in the New Testament age. So what about you? What do you mean, what about me? I'm under the authority of this church as well. I can look you in the eyeball. This church can have a vote of confidence anytime it wants to have one. Boy, your behavior, your attitude, your spirit, your preaching, whatever, your home life. We don't want you as our pastor. I am in submission to this New Testament church. There's no one person greater than the church as a whole. None of us. So keep rank. Keep rank. It's what David said about these men of valor. They kept ready, ready armed to war. They were prepared for battle at a moment's notice. They never let their guard down. I remember one of Brother House's most, to me, one of his most practical messages I ever heard him preach, and it was after I'd left, but I heard it in a conference somewhere, is, and I forget the title of it, but the basic gist of the message was, don't become casual or you'll become a casualty. Don't become casual or you'll become a casualty. When you let your guard down, and when you go day after day after day without being in this book right here, there's no way you can keep ready. Keep ready. You got to keep ready. And then the Bible says they kept rank. They knew how to take orders. They knew how to line up. They knew how to be in that chain of command. And folks, it's so critically important as we move into these days of anarchy and chaos that God's people know how to keep rank. Keep ready and keep rank. Let me give you the third thing, and then I'll be done tonight. Look at verse number 38. We already read it just a little bit. They kept ready. They kept rank. Verse number 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel, and all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. You see two references to the heart here in this verse. They kept ready. They kept rank. And number three, they kept right in their heart. They kept right. Now listen to me. These men were not perfect in the sense of sinlessness. It's an interesting word, that word perfect. You know, it's a derivative of the word shalom. You know what shalom is in Hebrew, don't you? Peace. Peace. You can tell where I grew up, amen, when I grew up. Peace. People were saying peace before they ever knew anything about that. They were complete. They were mature. They were wholehearted. Now hear this. When you've got a clean heart, there is a serenity to your presence. A peace. That's what living right brings to the table. Living clean and right and pure before God creates a peace in your heart that nothing else can create. There is nothing that will keep your heart and mind in better shape in days of transition and days of chaos than through tribulation and troubled times like living right. Live clean. Live pure. Live holy. Be right. There's nothing that will create a peace and calm and a serenity like just being right with God. I think of Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. A clean heart, a clean life will give you a completeness, a serenity, a calmness. I've said it before. I will say it again tonight. Sin will wear you out. Sin will make you physically tired. Sin will wear you out in your spirit. It'll make you troubled. It'll make you nervous. It'll make you restless. I told my wife, I said, we were talking about two or three different folks that have just bombed. And I said, honey, there was always a spirit of restlessness. Restlessness. Run over here and try this for a while. That didn't work. Run over here and try this for a while. Run over here and try this for a while. Run over here and do this for a while. And then run over here and do this for a while. And then go back and do this. And bing, 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 like a pinball. Restless. Restless souls. And you know that 90% of the time it was involved, hidden sin was involved. Hidden to the eyes of man, yes, but not to the eyes of an all-seeing God. And when you live in sin, when you live in some sinful habit, or you live in some sinful, sensuous manner, repeatedly, it creates a restlessness, a restless spirit. And nothing can satisfy. There's no contentment. And do you know that clean living does just the opposite? Clean living creates a calmness, a serenity, a peace. Hey, you know what? It's a fulfillment. I can't put it into words completely, but it's just, there's absolutely, it's incredible what clean living will do for your spirit. Keep right. On your internet, keep right. In your reading material, keep right. In your books, keep right. Your television, keep right. In your cell phone, keep right. In the magazines you look at, keep right. In your business dealings, keep right. Watch out for jealousy. Watch out for bitterness. Watch out for envy. Watch out for a spirit of ugliness and bitterness. Keep right. Nothing will create a more calm sense of serenity and peace than just right living. And that's the truth. Right living. I read a little story about one of the knights of King Arthur's Round Table, Sir Galahad. His nickname, he was called the Maiden Knight because of his pure life. And Tennyson quotes Galahad as saying to the king, when the king was ready to assign him to a very incredibly difficult mission, Tennyson quotes Galahad as saying, "King, my strength is as the strength of 10 because my heart is pure." And that's true. There's no strength like the kind of strength that right living gives you. There's no strength, there's no peace, there's no calmness, there's no fulfillment and contentment like the peace and the calmness of right living will create in your heart in troublesome days. So keep right. Keep right. You television, chat room, internet, soap opera moms, get off all that junk. Your kids go to school, you're home by yourself all day. What are you doing? Find something to invest yourself in. Something wholesome and clean. And stay off the telephone and gossiping and practicing. Did you hear? I heard. Live right. Keep right. They were men of valor. They were men of substance. They were men of courage. They were men of strength. And they didn't just happen that way. They just didn't accidentally stumble into it. They knew what it was to keep ready. They knew what it was to keep rank. And they knew what it was to keep right. I will tell you something. You know what happened to these folks? They got through these troubled days and they got through the days of transition. And Israel's greatest days were ahead of them. Largely in part because of these men of valor. Christian, I want to encourage you tonight. In troubled days here in America, you keep ready, you keep rank, and you keep right. That's pretty easy. That's pretty simple. And God will help us. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening.